I know what time it is, so I just want to do a quick wrap-up this evening. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the 67th Psalm, the 67th Psalm. I'll never forget when we took our first short-term mission trip to Uganda, East Africa. It was about a decade ago. Dr. Weaver had asked me as the youth director to get our teens on the mission field, and not just somewhere here at home, but somewhere around the world. So I took a group of 8 teenage girls, the Floyd family, both of them were in their 70s, and Miss Teddy Wasik, and we went to Uganda, East Africa, to help veteran missionary Tony Applegate. We worked with orphans, we shared the gospel. God gripped my heart with urgent poverty and urgent lostness. I remember coming back and getting to my office, and there was a voicemail on my one of the members of our church had left me a voicemail. I clicked the number, put in my password, here comes the voicemail. It was a member of our church, and he was wondering why, with a tornado recently taking place in Georgia and people in our own country in urgent need, we would spend thousands of dollars and waste, in his word, a couple of weeks getting the gospel to, quote-unquote, black people in Georgia and Africa, rather than helping people in our own country. Not long thereafter, I was scrolling Facebook, not always a great thing to do. I was scrolling Facebook, and someone had gone in an all-caps tirade. Now, you know when you see someone in an all-caps tirade, you should just keep scrolling, right? Nothing good's going to come from that. But apparently, the war in Iraq was going on during that time, and this guy had gotten on Facebook on a diatribe, and he basically said this: we ought to nuke all those Muslims, and in his words, quote-unquote, send them straight to hell. Now, this was a Christian. This was a pastor of a Baptist church. So you can imagine how I was feeling on the heels of a mission trip where I saw urgent lostness, urgent poverty, people without access to resources we take for granted, and most importantly, without access to the gospel. Hearing someone in our own faith family say that we shouldn't waste our time witnessing to black people in Africa, and a pastor on Facebook saying we ought to nuke people and let millions of boys and girls die and go to hell. It tore me up. Now, what it taught me is that not every member of a missions-minded church has a mindset for the mission. Not every person who's in a mission-hearted church like Worth Baptist Church actually has a heart for what God has a heart for. And while we would never phrase it in such a way, you may be sitting in your pew this evening asking yourself, why should we go on short-term mission trips? I mean, why would a group of people brave COVID and spend thousands of dollars to give up weeks of vacation to go and take the gospel to people in other cultures when there are people in our own culture who don't have the gospel? Why should anyone take a short-term mission trip? And maybe even more generally, why should anyone give their lives for the mission of God? Well, Psalm 67 has the answer in two verses. Look at Psalm 67, verse 1. God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. Verse 1 is the testimony of all of God's people. You could write your name in the margin of that verse. How many of you would agree today that God has been merciful to you? Amen. That God has blessed you? Amen. That because of Jesus, his face has shined upon you? Amen. Because of what happened on Calvary, you will never know the wrath of God. You will never know what it is, again, to have God as your enemy. When you look up to heaven, all you see is the smile of God. Verse 1 is the testimony of all of God's people. God has been merciful to us, he has blessed us, and he has caused his face to shine upon us. And the question to that is, why? Why has God been merciful to you? Why has God blessed you? Why has he caused his face to shine on you? Verse 2 gives you the answer. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. God has blessed his people, not for his people's sake. God has blessed his people for the sake of all people. You see, many times as we preach the gospel, we act like we are the end of salvation. Like salvation was really just about getting us from hell to heaven. It was just about God coming into our life and being our companion. It was just about us having a personal relationship with God. And all of those things are the benefits of salvation, no doubt about it. But did you know that God has a bigger purpose behind your salvation than you? Amen. God has not blessed you for your sake. He's blessed you for his sake. And he's blessed his people for the sake of all people. And the psalmist's prayer ought to be our prayer. God bless us and be merciful to us and cause your face to shine upon us so that we might take those blessings and share those blessings with someone who do not know them. How many of you understand tonight that not everybody in the world has been as blessed as you are? Not everybody got to hear the gospel as a child like you did. Not everybody got to have three meals today. Not everybody got to take a warm shower. Not everybody has clean clothes on their back, a roof on their head, a roof over their head. And that's what mission trips remind you of. When you leave America and leave the suburbs for a minute and get outside your wealthy privilege and see a world that is in desperate and urgent physical need, it makes an impact on you. I wish many of you could travel with me to the Philippines and go to the Payatas region. I'll never forget the first time I saw it. Brother Jimmy, you were there. The Payatas region is a dump outside the city of Manila, and people live there. People live in the dump of a third world country. I'll never forget seeing children open up trash sacks, empty out the garbage, and start cleaning the plastic trash liners so they could sell it the next day. I'll never forget seeing children reach down and pick up the trash and eat it for their lunch. Or the line of kids that was 75 deep as they brought their bowl so they might have a glorified chicken noodle soup. And that was the only meal they were going to eat that day. I wish you could travel with me to the slums of India. And I wish you could see poverty like you've never seen it in your life. People living in tar shacks in the shadow of the Mumbai airport, one of the wealthiest, most opulent buildings in the world. Travel sometime like one missionary did to the mountains of Nepal. See people who've been in Buddhism for centuries, who've never heard the name of Jesus even one time. Meet girls as young as 8 years old who are sold into the sex slave trade because their fathers think that anything would be better than living in the poverty that's on top of the mountains. What I'm trying to say is that not everywhere is Burleson, Texas. Not everywhere is the United States. Not everybody has been as blessed as you have been. And when you go on a trip like this, you see that kind of urgent physical and spiritual need. It wakes you up because you begin to understand, how is it that I can enjoy such blessing? How is it that I can enjoy such mercy? How is it that I can enjoy the face of God smiling on me and I would not try to share that blessing with someone else? I ask you a question. Does God love you any more than he loves poor people in Africa? Does God love you any more than those children who pick through the trash in the Philippines? Does God love you any more than those little girls who will have up to 10 customers a day in Nepal? No, he doesn't. You say, why doesn't God do something about the suffering in the world? Why doesn't God do something about the lostness in the world? He has. He sent Jesus to this world. Amen. See, ladies and gentlemen, the person of Jesus, we have a God who knows what it is to suffer. He walked a mile in our shoes. He knows what it is to be hungry. He knows what it is to be homeless. He knows what it is to live in abject poverty. He knows it not just in the way that he knows everything. He knows it by experience. God has done something about suffering. He sent his son into this world so that he might put an end to suffering without putting an end to the sinners that cause suffering. Say, what does that do for the person in Africa? What does it do for the kids picking through the garbage in the Philippines? Why doesn't God do something about their suffering? He has. He's blessed you. Not so that you might stay here in Fort Worth, Texas and keep these blessings to yourself. He's blessed his people for the sake of all people. So that you might leave the four walls of this building and take those blessings to people who don't have them. Amen. Yes. You'd understand that God hasn't just blessed you for you tonight. He's blessed you for the sake of all people. So I just ask you tonight, what are you doing for the mission of God? What can you do? Well, you can start off by giving to missions every month and praise God for that. Last year, we gave close to $700,000 to missions. That's no small amount. I'm going to tell you, a lot of hungry people ate. A lot of naked people got clothing, and a lot of lost people got the gospel because you gave to missions last year. Because you sacrificed a Starbucks, you sacrificed a newer car, you sacrificed the newest iPhone so somebody might have the blessings that you enjoy. That is a wonderful thing, and I praise God for that. What else can you do? You can pray fervently. Pray fervently. Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray fervently for the kids in Piatas. Pray fervently for the girls in the mountains of Nepal. Pray fervently for the kids who live on that mountain in Jamaica. Pray for them. You say, will it work? God said it would. He said it would. I've told you this story before, but I remember when I was in college, I got a burden for the people of North Korea. George W. Bush had listed North Korea as part of the Axis of Terror, one of the three most evil countries on the face of the earth. North Korea is a closed country. Missionaries can't go there with the gospel. I prayed for years and years and years and years that God would send laborers into the harvest of North Korea, and I thought it was an impossible prayer. A couple of years ago, we're having a mission conference here at Worth Baptist Church. We had some missionaries come up, and they were at the Bowie Bible Translators, okay? Yeah, it is a mouthful. I apologize, all right? They had come up for our mission conference. And guess where one of them was going? North Korea. I started weeping before the service ever began. I said to this man, you don't know this, but I've been praying for you for 13 years. Does it work? It works. Amen. Prayer works because God works. Amen. Give sacrificially. Pray fervently. Amen. Go personally. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark 16, 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does ye mean in Texan? It means y'all. It's second person plural. If Jesus was in Fort Worth, Texas, you know how he'd say Mark 16, 15? All y'all go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of them. That's what he would say. You know, the men who heard that commission took it seriously. There were 11 men who heard Jesus say, all of you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they didn't stay in their country. They didn't stay in Jerusalem. They left and took the gospel everywhere they could take it. Imagine what Peter and James and John would have done if they could have got on a jet and traveled anywhere in the world in 24 hours. They would have turned the world upside down. What I'm trying to say is that it is possible through modern technology, through jet travel, for every Christian to be involved in crossing cultures with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The people that gave testimonies tonight didn't go to seminary. They're not ordained pastors. They're church members who gave up a week of their vacation and a lot of their extra money so that someone who didn't enjoy the blessings of God might enjoy it. Amen. Why couldn't you do that? You could. It was a joy in 2019 to see almost 100 of our members cross cultures with the gospel of Christ. I'm telling you, for a church our size, that's amazing. That's why Don Sis, the founder of BIMI, is traveling all across America telling every church he goes to that Worth Baptist Church is the most missions-hearted church that he's ever been to. I think that's pretty incredible. And wouldn't it be great, Lord willing, wouldn't it be great if in 2022 we could pass that 100 mark? Why couldn't you apply for your passport? Why couldn't you start saving now? Why couldn't you decide tonight, I'm going to cross cultures with the gospel? Why should you? Because verse 1, I've been blessed by God. Verse 2, but not for my sake, for their sakes. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the testimonies that we've heard tonight. Our hearts have been stirred and encouraged to see what you've done through our members on short-term mission trips. It's my prayer that every member of our church would pray seriously about going on a short-term mission trip. And Lord, like we've heard tonight, we recognize that the harvest just isn't in Africa, or the Philippines, or Jamaica, the Navajo Nation. Harvest is all around us. And we could get involved sharing the blessings of God with someone here in our community this week through Vacation Bible School. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give our church a red-hot heart for missions, and that many of us would continue to sacrifice our vacation and sacrifice our money to take the gospel to people that don't have it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.